Blog Talk Radio.
Healthcare Now. I'm Bobby Owens. Almost all cervical cancer is caused by the human papillomavirus, or HPV. Most of us will unknowingly be exposed to this sexually transmitted virus. In some women, it can lead to cervical cancer. Dr. Bobby Gostout, a gynecologic oncologist, says cervical cancer can be prevented with three steps.
First, there is a new vaccine available to prevent most cervical cancer, and I urge all girls and women between ages 9 and 26 to get vaccinated. Second, all of us should continue to have regular Pap tests. And third, women over 30 should get an HPV test when recommended by their healthcare provider.
Dr. Gostout urges all girls and women to take these three steps.
January is Cervical Cancer Screening Month. This is a great time to make an appointment to be vaccinated or get a Pap test and HPV test when recommended by a healthcare provider. Please do your part.
For more information, go to cervicalcancercampaign.org. That's Healthcare Now from the Gynecologic Cancer Foundation. I'm Bobby Owens.
Good morning and welcome to Saturday Mornings with Joy Keyes. I'm your host, Joy Keyes. I want to thank you so much for listening. I am in Philadelphia with a foot of snow. I was just speaking to my guest about how my mom was rubbing it in. She's going to the beach today, but I'm over here in a foot of snow. And I was just like, Mom, please, really, just really hurting me here. But thank you all for listening. If you're warm and cozy in your houses or if you're listening on your phone, thank you so much for your support. Close to 50,000 downloads of the podcast. I just want to say thank you so much. I want to thank our wonderful guest today for coming on the show. I have a cervical cancer survivor, Tamika Felder. She is the founder and CEO of Tamika and Friends. And after being diagnosed with advanced cervical cancer in 2001 at the age of 25, Tamika Felder triumphed in her fight against this deadly disease. And also, thank you, Tamika, for bringing on Dr. Whitney. Today, I have a special doctor on to help us really understand from a medical perspective what is cervical cancer, who is susceptible to getting cervical cancer. Dr. Whitney is calling in from Delaware. You're in Wilmington, Dr. Whitney, yes?
Yes, I am.
Mm-hmm. Well, good morning to both of you. Good morning, Tamika, and good morning, Dr. Whitney.
Good morning. Thank you for having us.
So this is a little sneaky disease. A lot of women, you don't really talk about cervical cancer. I mean, in the news, you hear about colon cancer, you hear about breast cancer, but cervical cancer, it doesn't seem to be as, you know, a widespread, you know, publicity. Why do you think that is, Tamika?
Because it's linked to a sexually transmitted infection. For me, I worked on a show right before I was diagnosed called Heart and Soul on BET, and we taught black women how to protect themselves and, you know about breast cancer, know about these cardiovascular disease, all these other things. So I felt pretty much in the know. Didn't have insurance because I was a freelance journalist, got a job with insurance, got a cyst under my arm, needed to go to the emergency room. Went to the emergency room, doctor asked me a simple question, when was the last time you had your Pap? And then I fell into this world of cervical cancer and human papillomavirus. Even then, the doctor never mentioned HPV to me, and I'm jumping around a little bit, but to answer your question, because this cancer is linked to a virus that's sexually transmitted, that's why a lot of people don't talk about it, but HPV affects millions of people, so it's extremely common, and it's something that everybody should be talking about and have on their radar screen so they can protect themselves from it.
Well, that's one of the things that the public service announcement talked about, the three things that a person can do. Dr. Whitney, tell us what are some things that people can do to help prevent or at least diagnose cervical cancer?
Well, like Tamika says, if you're having sex, you are at risk because HPV is sexually transmitted. So almost everybody is going to be exposed to HPV at some point in their lives. The three things that you talked about initially with the public service announcement, getting vaccinated, having regular Pap smears, getting the HPV test after the age of 30 are all important. But I'd also like to stress the things that you don't think about, like smoking. Smoking is a carcinogen for many types of cancers, but smoking will also increase your risk for cervical cancer. Protecting yourself, using a condom when you're having sexual activity, and, you know, monitoring what you are exposing yourself to as far as partners are concerned. So making sure that you're able to do some of this preventative stuff helps to prevent this disease. The cool thing about cervical cancer is that you don't ever have to have it. It's preventable.
Mm-hmm. Now, what if you're over 26, though? Are you still able to get the vaccine? Is that something that's recommended? Is that risky?
Well, at this point, the vaccine is approved for women, girls and women from the age of 9 to about 26. The newer one, Cervarix, has been shown to have some protection for women that are older than 26. However, the vaccine only works if you've not been exposed. And by the time you hit your late 20s, chances are that you've been exposed to one of the HPV types.
Yeah, so that's the issue. Now, I'm a parent. I have a daughter. Now, Tamika, do you have any children, Tamika?
I don't, unfortunately, and I will never be able to give birth to children because of this disease, because I had to have a radical hysterectomy followed by chemotherapy and radiation. And this is a cancer that is preventable. No woman should lose their life, let alone you lose their fertility.
So what happened when you, did you feel like you were just, like, slapped upside the head when somebody said you have cervical cancer? I mean, were you this is incomprehensible? What was your, initial?
Yeah, I didn't believe it. I went to see about 10 doctors, and I was looking for that person to tell me, no, this isn't true. I love Dr. Whitney. I wish, she was my doctor, and I had some great doctors, but as a 25-year-old that had never even had a broken bone, it was just unbelievable to me that you were telling me that I had cervical cancer, that I needed this hysterectomy, that I would never be able to give birth because of it. And it was just devastating to me. And I never, ever want any woman, especially a young woman, to go through what I've gone through. And so many women are dealing with this.
So now why did you decide to start the organization? I mean, a lot of times when people are diagnosed with illnesses, it can just be so overwhelming. They just kind of go in a shell and just try to live their lives and just survive and, not worry, because I know people who have breast cancer, the chances it could come back. And, it's just this constant, cloud. So what gave you the strength to start this organization, Tamika and Friends?
Well, that's exactly what happened. I didn't want to be a cancer advocate. It's so funny that I'm so involved in this world now. I just wanted to get back to being a television producer, living out my hopes, wishes, and dreams, and never, ever thinking about cancer. I remember threatening my family and saying, if you, and I'm not a violent person, but I was so adamant about it, that if you mention cancer to me, I'll punch you in your face. I didn't want to be the cancer girl. I felt alone. It changed my life. It changed the very fiber of who I was. And I just kept thinking, I'm not the only one that this has happened to, because I really felt like I was the only one. When I looked for resources, I found a lot of websites that were depressing. They made me want to give up. They made me want to slit my wrist and go off the cliff. My friends kept asking, what can we do? You used to be the social butterfly, and now you're just the shell of a person that you used to be. And out of that, Tamika and Friends was born, and we really wanted to create a space where women could come together and share their stories and learn from each other. And, the art of sisterhood is a beautiful thing. I was lucky I had a great support system. But when I started meeting other patients, other survivors, they could understand things that my girlfriends could not understand. And it healed me. And I never thought that this organization would take off and happen in the way that it has been. Truth be told, every year I'm like, okay, we're going to stop. We've done what we said we're going to do, and we're going to stop. And people get involved, and they say, no, we have to keep going. And, someone said it best, I may not be able to birth a child, but I birthed this baby.
This is your child,
And it is my child, and my child needs a lot of love and attention. Sometimes I don't feel like waking up with it. Sometimes I don't feel like putting it to bed, it is my child, and I'm happy that my child is prospering and growing into a wonderful, young thing.
Well,
and helping people.
Has lots of, Well, that's how I found you. I found you through a press release about, you know, the Pearl of Wisdom and organization. I was like, oh, I need to talk to her. I've got to get her on the show. So I'm very happy that you came on this morning. If you're just tuning in, I'm speaking with Tamika Felder. She's a cervical cancer survivor and the founder and CEO of Tamika and Friends Incorporated. They're one of the lead partners of the Pearl of Wisdom campaign. And now Dr. Whitney is also with us. She's a OBGYN in Delaware, Wilmington, Delaware. Dr. Whitney, she talked about radical hysterectomy. She talked about chemotherapy. Tell me about, okay, you get diagnosed. Now, what are the treatment options? Is that normal, having a radical hysterectomy?
Well, not necessarily. Cervical cancer, like a lot of cancers, has a spectrum. There can be a very low-level or a very localized bit of cancer, where it can just be removed with a biopsy or a smaller procedure, or there may be some spread which would require the hysterectomy, the radical hysterectomy, where lymph nodes are taken and all the tissues around the uterus. It may require radiotherapy or even chemotherapy.
Tell Dr. Whitney, my story is what not to happen.
Right, definitely.
But, you know, Tamika, women of color, in my research, women of color and Hispanic women, African-American women, are getting diagnosed later. Now, Dr. Whitney, why do you think that is? Is it that African-American women, Latino women, maybe Asian women, are they not going to the OBGYN for their pap smears? Are they going and then not following up? What do you think the cause of that is?
I think you're right on all the things that you've said. There is a problem as far as being able to afford the examinations to get the pap smears. There is some fear in the community. You know, cancer, nobody says it out loud.
Mm-hmm.
So black women tend to not get the pap smears done, or mammograms for that matter. We're twice as likely to die from cervical cancer as the general population, and that's because we don't get tested. The pap smear all by itself has reduced the risk of progressing to cervical cancer almost 90% from the time it was first invented in the 50s. So it's a very good test, but it has to be done.
Well, I want to let some listeners know that there are some wonderful programs out there. There's a program funded by the National Breast and Cervical Cancer Early Detection Program. Again, that's the National Breast and Cervical Cancer Early Detection Program, and they offer free and low-cost pap tests to women in need. I will post the link on my page. I'll post it now in the chat room. But I just wanted to let people, there are options out there. Also, Planned Parenthood offers low-cost pap tests. So if you look up Planned Parenthood organization in your area, you can speak to them about trying to get a free or low-cost pap test, because insurance is a serious issue for all types of health, mammograms, pap smears, colons, all kinds of things. If you don't have health insurance, I mean, you're just really out of luck, unfortunately. Now, Tamika, now this organization, tell us about some of the resources that Tamika and Friend have.
Well, like I said, we have a community support of survivors, a network of survivors and their friends. I like to call it a one-stop shop for all things cervical cancer.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things when I was diagnosed, you're emotional. You're looking for all this information. You have to go to all these different websites. So what we did, we kind of collected everything and put it on this website, links to any other cervical cancer organization or an organization that has cervical cancer funding, initiatives, programming. So you don't have to go to all those different sites. You can once you get there, but you don't even have to go into a Google search or that.
Mm-hmm.
We wanted to make it easy for women that are diagnosed. We have lots of educational information that we give out to hospitals or groups who want to do cervical.
People can post their little videos and things also.
People can post videos. They can share their stories, their testimonies. You can make tributes to loved ones. But another thing that I want to talk about, as a woman, I became in debt because of this. I had insurance, thank God. And once I reached my cap, I had to pay out of pocket. My financial situation changed. A lot of resources that I went to, I couldn't get it because I made too much money, which was funny at the time because I was like, do you see what's happening to me? I can't afford to even pay my copay.
Right.
We decided to do financial support and make it a very simple application to where you don't have to just need the funding for medical bills. If you need a daycare, if you need your house cleaned, if you need different things, we wanted something very easy. So you shouldn't have to worry about where your next meal is going to come from when you're trying to battle cervical cancer. And we're fortunate that we've been able to really help a lot of people. We've even been able to pay someone's bills for a month, which is really great. And to touch lives, we're there as a support for caregivers. We know that caregivers are like a co-patient, a co-survivor. They're going through everything the person is going through. So we support caregivers. We have where a survivor or a patient can nominate their caregiver, and we send the caregiver a spa gift certificate or gas card, groceries.
Yeah, and
we don't want to recreate the wheel. There are lots of great things out there. So we kind of looked at where there was a need and what we could do to fill those needs, and that's what we did.
Now, Dr. Whitney, let me just ask you, when a woman comes in and goes to her OBGYN, what are some questions she needs to ask of the OBGYN that will help not just with cervical cancer but ovarian cancer? What things should she be asking her doctor?
I guess it really depends on where the woman is in her life cycle. If she is young, most of the time we're focusing on fertility, sexually transmitted diseases, and you know, is everything normal. As we progress in age, as you get a little older, then your risks change. And that's where a lot of the cancer preventative care is focused. For women who are over 30, they should have an HPV test as well as a pap smear, because the human papillomavirus, or HPV, is what causes cervical cancer to begin with. She also,
now, can you have HPV and not get cervical cancer?
Oh, without a doubt.
Is there a strain of...
And in fact, most people won't get it. That's why it's so important to make sure that you're getting screened, because it shouldn't be happening. It's the first cancer. We know the cause. We have the tools to prevent it. We have the tools to detect it. So this should not be happening.
It really shouldn't. And I tell my patients HPV is almost like cholesterol. If you have elevated cholesterol, it doesn't mean that you're going to have a heart attack. It means that you're going to do some things to reduce your risk. You know, it's a yellow flag saying watch this person a little bit more closely. And a lot of HPV will regress. Your body, your immune system will get rid of it. So you need to have repeat testing done to make sure it's gone, but also do some things to make your immune system stronger. And that's what mom and grandmom tell you. Get rest, take your vitamins, avoid things like smoking or stress. That's reducing your ability to fight off infection or disease.
Now, Tamika, you're connected with the Pearl of Wisdom campaign. How did you get connected with them?
We are the lead partner for the Pearl of Wisdom campaign, and we were honored to be asked. It started over in Europe, and it is, the pin is the global symbol for cervical cancer. And while it's fairly young, we're definitely making strides. It's similar to the pink ribbon. We just use a beautiful gold pin with a pearl in the middle of it. And you can, your audience, your listeners can go to pearlofwisdom.us. Check out the pin. Also go there and take our Pearl Pledge that we're doing through. And I love that this is how we're kind of ending National Cervical Cancer Awareness Month, because that's what January is, where women can go take the Pearl Pledge and then share it with five of their friends, family, girlfriends, whoever, and give them information to protect themselves from cervical cancer, as well as pledging for a healthy cervix. Because, you know, you have to know where your cervix is to talk about cervical cancer and protect yourself from it. And I believe in that. A lot of the stuff we do with our house parties of five, we have a kind of, you know, tell us the parts of yourself. And there's
no,
so many women.
No, but, you know, we're laughing.
We have so many women.
People don't know their body parts.
We
really don't know their body parts.
We ask them, where's your cervix? And they pat their stomach. And this is people who've had kids and all this other stuff. And to be honest, I knew my cervix was in my vagina, but I really didn't know the function of it. I honestly didn't. And you have to be able to talk about it. And I think it's a shame that we are sexual beings, and because this is linked to a sexually transmitted virus, that it hinders us from talking about it. And it, who wants to be that girl? I never wanted to be that girl that talks about her intimate areas and her intimate life. But if it just saves one person, then it's all worth it. If just one person in your listening audience goes to the doctor and they said, hey, I heard this crazy woman talking about cervical cancer, doctor rolling off ways to prevent it and what we need to do.
If it just touches that one woman, it's worth it.
It's worth it.
Definitely. Now, Dr. Whitney, you just hit on a really good issue of women not knowing their body parts. Women come in your office, on average, 1 out of 10, 2 out of 10, 3 out of 10. How many women don't know about their different body parts? In terms of their ovaries and their cervix and their fallopian tubes, and what do you think the number is?
You know, fortunately, I think things are improving. I couldn't tell you a number, but I've been in practice for 20-plus years. And when I first started, many people didn't know where things were or what to call them. You know, we've got all kinds of names for different body parts. But I'd say the majority of people know the vicinity of where the parts are. And I'm a visual person, so I have lots of pictures on my wall. I have mirrors that we use. And, hopefully by the time they leave, everybody knows what their cervix is.
Yeah. And she's a great doctor, I have to tell you. She's a great doctor.
I think the responsibility of every practitioner, doctor, nurse practitioner, whoever, is to teach.
That's really what I want to say. If you're not comfortable with your doctor, you have to get another doctor. You have to be able to have open and honest conversations with your doctor. Go in there. If you think you're going to get nervous, write down the questions before.
And
make sure, because if you don't tell, you're almost the co-doctor. You have to tell your doctor what your body is whispering to you, so that they can help you. And that's with anything, not just cervical cancer. So, I have to tell your audience members this also. I believe in making yourself a real person to your doctor, not just a file number. When I walk in, I want my doctor not to think who I am. I want he or she to remember, that's Tamika. She had cervical cancer when she was 25. Be a person to your doctor. Obviously, that's not going to happen every, but make yourself memorable to them.
Well, I think that's really important note that you made about writing things down, because so many things are going on in our lives, you know, work, children, maybe partners, husbands, boyfriends, whatever, girlfriends, just life stuff. And if you don't write it down, sometimes you actually just do forget. You go in saying, I want to talk to them about this, but then you forget, and then you leave. And then, you know, how do you make another appointment? The insurance only pays for one checkup, you know, in 6 months or something like that, or once a year. So really that's a very important note. If you're listening, please write down your questions. I have a quick question from the chat room. Someone was asking if women can transmit to other women if they're in a lesbian relationship. Dr. Whitney, is that something that women can transmit to women,
or is it
only male-female?
No, it's skin-to-skin contact. So if you have genital skin rubbing against genital skin, you will be able to transmit it. And it's extremely easy to pass HPV along.
Now, what are some of the symptoms? Tamika, we didn't really get into that, but we have a couple minutes. Dr. Whitney, just tell us some things that women should listen to in their body if things start happening.
Well, most of the early symptoms are you wouldn't even know, okay?
And I didn't have any.
Right. The important thing is to do like Tamika did and get a pap smear, because that's going to let us know. By the time you're having symptoms with cervical cancer, because it's a very sneaky disease, it's very, very far along. And the symptoms would be abnormal vaginal discharge, vaginal bleeding, particularly after intercourse, maybe some swelling of your legs. At this point, it's gone too far.
So really what we're saying to people is go to the doctor, make this one of your New Year's resolutions, put it on your, you know, checklist of things. Not even checklist. It should just be something. You got to do it. You have to go to your OBGYN. You have to get your pap smear. Ask them to warm up the speculum. You know, ask them to put some little mittens on the where you put your feet. Whatever you got to do to make yourself comfortable, play some music, put your, you know, iPod on. You need to go to the doctor. And as Tamika said, write down your questions, the concerns.
I can tell you, just as a physician, writing down those questions gives you power. Because I'm seeing 4 to 6 patients in an hour, usually. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to try to get out of that room as quick as I can. If somebody's sitting trying to think of questions, I'm going to be easing towards that door. If she's got a list, I can't go. So that gives you some power there. Okay.
And cervical cancer, preventing it is easy. It's having it that's the hard part. You don't want to go through the things that you have to go through once you have a cervical cancer diagnosis.
I think, Tamika, you said it once.
To prevent it.
You said that you think a pap smear hurts, try having cancer. I remember you said that. And
that's a good line. That is a very good line. Mm-hmm. Yes, definitely. I think I'd rather get the pap smear test than have cancer, go through chemotherapy, go through not being able possibly to have children. And as Dr. Whitney had mentioned when I asked her, if you start having symptoms, it's probably advanced. So you can't ignore. Don't reschedule this particular appointment. This is one of your top appointments that you have to keep. Forget about going to the movies, getting your pedicure, getting your hair done. Go to your OBGYN. Should be on the top of the list of things that, you know, you want to do this year. I want to thank both of you for coming on the show this morning. Thank you so much, Tamika Felder, for sharing your story. Thank you, Dr. Whitney, for sharing all of your knowledge. And I wish you much success, Tamika, with your baby, Tamika and friends. And
thank
you so much for continuing to educate women and hopefully saving women's lives.
Oh, you're very welcome. It was my pleasure.
Thank you.
You guys have a wonderful snowy Saturday.
You too.
Okay, bye-bye.
All right, bye-bye.
Thank you, everybody, for listening to the show this morning. I just got off the air with cervical cancer survivor Tamika Felder. You want to check out her website, tamikaandfriends.org, tamikaandfriends.org. She's the lead partner with Pearl of Wisdom campaign trying to fight cervical cancer. It's definitely preventable. It's definitely something that you don't have to go through. And as Tamika said, it's easier to get a pap smear than have to go through having cervical cancer. So please put that on your checklist of things to do this year before the pedicure, before getting your hair done, before going to the movies. You need to go to the doctor to get yourself checked out. And also, there's another wonderful project, the ISIS Project. Dr. Whitney had worked on that. We didn't get a chance to mention that. But for me, you can follow me on twitter.com/joykeys, or you can become a fan on Facebook. Just look me up on Saturday Mornings with Joy Keys on Facebook. So I really appreciate your support. I think we have a question here. Good morning, caller. We have just a couple minutes. You have a question calling from 215 area code?
I just thought
that
it was a good show. Good morning. How you doing, Joy?
Thank you so much for listening. I really appreciate your support. So please share with your friends about going to get a pap smear, or your aunts or your girlfriends or your coworkers. Tell them, put that on their checklist before the pedicure.
I sure will let them know, definitely.
All right, thank you so much. Thank you very much. All right, everybody, stay tuned. I'm going to be talking to Intijam Rosie from Netherlands, a beautiful singer, kind of a jazz, funky. She has some soul. She has some rap in there. You want to check her out in the next couple minutes. Intijam Rosie calling in from the Netherlands. So you guys have a wonderful Saturday. You can follow me on twitter.com/joykeys, or you can become a fan on Facebook. Just look me up, Saturday Mornings with Joy Keys. I hope you have a wonderful Saturday, and don't forget, go get your pap smear.
Healthcare Now. I'm Bobby Owens. Almost all cervical cancer is caused by the human papillomavirus, or HPV. Most of us will unknowingly be exposed to this sexually transmitted virus. In some women, it can lead to cervical cancer. Dr. Bobby Gostout, a gynecologic oncologist, says cervical cancer can be prevented with 3 steps.
First, there is a new vaccine available to prevent most cervical cancer, and I urge all girls and women between ages 9 and 26 to get vaccinated. Second, all of us should continue to have regular pap tests. And third, women over 30 should get an HPV test when recommended by their health care provider.
Dr. Gostout urges all girls and women to take these 3 steps.
January is Cervical Cancer Screening Month. This is a great time to make an appointment to be vaccinated or get a pap test and HPV test when recommended by a healthcare provider. Please do your part.
For more information, go to cervicalcancercampaign.org. That's healthcare now from the Gynecologic Cancer Foundation. I'm Bobby Owens.